Today on Real Radio.
Paul is saying there's going to come a time in a season when the believers who are living during the time that the Lord's coming back, they're going to be discerning something's up. We won't know the day or the hour, but we're going to start getting a gut feel. Man, you know what? Things are looking pretty biblical. That reminds me of a scripture.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues with a common theme we've been bringing to you all this week, salvation. On the first couple of days, we were faced with the question, are you going to heaven? Now, our teacher continues with this theme, asking another question of equal importance. Are you ready to meet God? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Do we really believe the Bible? Do we really believe in Him? Do we really believe that all this is going to come to an end someday? Or is this what we're living for? I hope we're living for Him. Are we prepared to meet Him? Because it matters what we do. What we're doing matters now in how we live. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1, verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him, says John, and we declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Is that not good news? Hey, can I say that again? And you guys act like that's great and say amen. Okay, ready? I'll cue you here. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
That's good news. Are you having fellowship with God? Then you know what? When you walk down that street, okay, and you have that thought, whoa. Or you see that billboard and it causes a thought. Or you hear that word and it causes a thought. When you're walking in the light, you're going to be tempted. But when that thing hits you, you're going to say, Lord, that was not good. That was not right. In Jesus' name, get that away from me. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me. Amen. Guess what? You just get up and keep walking. If you understand what John is saying in 1 John 1, you will be free. Why? You're prepared to meet your God. You're prepared to meet the Lord. And listen, as I said earlier, Paul said, it's time now that we walk in the light. And the day is at hand. The night is far spent. What if? Hear me clearly. What if the Lord was coming back Tuesday at 3 o'clock? I didn't say that. I'm saying what if. What would you do? What would I do? Here's the funny thing. If you love the Lord and you're ready, you're going to go run around, grab all your friends, tell them. You're going to do everything you can to just make sure they all know. If you don't know the Lord, but you're religious, this is what you'll think. 3 o'clock Tuesday, huh? Wow. I'll just go crazy nuts until about 2:45. I'll leave enough room in case my watch is off. I'm going to go live it up and then repent. I talked to a guy in Balboa Pier. He told me that. If I knew Jesus was coming back, I'd go live it up. And right before He came back, I'd just, you know, get all right. What, are you crazy? Because here's the funny thing. Everybody wants to know when Jesus is coming back. We'd probably mess it up if we knew. But here's the thing. That's when Jesus is coming back. What if you went today? This is second service, isn't it? You're probably hungry. You're going to go eat. What if you choked? What if you choked today? God bless you. What if you choked today at breakfast? Oh, man, that pastor drives me nuts. I'm never going back to... Could you imagine? Forget about Jesus coming back. You could choke on a banana or slip on one. Think about it. I'm going to go live it up until He comes back. You could die today. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Here's what's scary about young people. God bless them. They're so cute, but boy, are they dumb. They're dumb. You don't wonder why they're dumb? Because they think the other guy's going to fall. Watch him. He's going to fall off the roof. Young people never think it's going to happen to them. That's why you send young people to war. They think the other guy's going to get shot. The general's back there smoking his cigar 50 miles away. He's like 50 years old. Send those young guys. Go! There's a sense of being invincible. Watch out. A lot of people live like that. We could choke today, but the Lord could come back today too. We need to be very careful. Point number three, are you prepared to meet God? What time is the meeting? Yeah, what time is the meeting? Because what time it is matters now. Man, I got to tell you something. You guys, I got saved in the late 70s. I remember Pastor Chuck. He would give us prophecy teachings. It was so great. Study through the Bible. Stuff going on in the world. I never dreamed that I would be 50 years old. Man, I thought, come on, let's go. You say, yeah, Pastor, you know what? My grandmother said Jesus was going to come back, and he still hasn't come back. So what are you implying? That the Bible's wrong? Grandma wasted her time? Or are you closer to the Lord coming back than Grandma was? Depends on how you look at it. If Grandma told you Jesus would come back in her day, which she was right, he could have come back in her day. Paul thought Jesus was coming back in his day. Then how much closer are we now? Then you have people saying, well, you know what? The Bible says that where's the promise of his coming? Where's the promise? I don't see anything going on. You know what? You need to shake. When you see something like that, you need to shake their hand. Say, man, you're fulfilling Bible prophecy. Let me shake your hand. Because when somebody says, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things have continued since the beginning. He ain't coming back. Give the guy a hug and tell him, dude, you are fulfilling scripture. The Bible said there'd be people just like you right before he came back. It's true. They're very encouraging. They're very encouraging people. But what time is it? If you knew that the Lord could come back today, as a believer, you get all excited. But maybe, you know, listen, maybe you're not a believer or you're a backslidden believer today. Maybe that is that you're Christian, but you're not living for the Lord. Man, that's serious stuff. Are you prepared to meet your God? In the grace of God, God would tell King David, prepare the troops, for in 3 days they go to war. Have them sanctify themselves. Man, that's warning, isn't it? They're going to go to battle. They got their hearts right before the Lord. How much more for the believer each and every day living in this nutty, dangerous world that you and I live in? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Listen, let's talk about some of those things very quickly that could really, really mess us up. And maybe for some, it's messing you up today. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says something about regarding timing and how we could really, really mess up our timing with the Lord. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do those things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. This is the stuff that God will not allow in heaven, and nor is it accustomed to his children. Adultery. That's having sex with somebody who's married. Fornication. That's sex with two people who are not married. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Dirty. That's dirty. Everything's dirty. Somebody says something, and they're all dirty about that. Oh, look at that palm tree. Oh, that's dirty. And they got some dirty comment. Just a reprobate mind. Sick. Idolatry. Worshiping things. Cars and money and sorcery. That's drug abuse. Strange name, huh? Sorcery? Drug use, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, temper out of control, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. By the way, murders is not only killing somebody, it's hating them. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Beautiful, huh? Timing. What's keeping you? Regarding this thing about timing, didn't Jesus say, behold, I come quickly? You read that at the end of your Bible. Behold, I come quickly. I remember being a brand new believer. First book I read in the Bible was the book of Revelation. Came to the end. He says, behold, I come quickly. Now, the first thought in my mind was, I come quickly? That was 2,000 years ago. The word in the Greek means, once these things happen, it's going to conclude fast. It doesn't mean he's going to come soon, 2,000 years ago, he's saying, when you see all this stuff start cooking, man, I'm going to come fast. It's going to be quick. Behold, I come quickly, he announces. Well, listen, there's two things that you need to keep in mind concerning the meeting. And this is pretty heavy stuff. Listen carefully. You guys awake? You guys okay? Watch this. Technically, let's talk about two things regarding the timing or time that it matters. Number one, when you talk about the coming of the Lord, the return, you can't talk about what is known as the second coming of Christ without talking about the first coming of Christ. When was the first coming of Christ? The Bible makes it very clear. It was not in Bethlehem. It was not in the little manger with baby Jesus. The first coming was when Jesus Christ came to the temple on that week called Passion Week, during the month of April. It was 32 AD. Remember Palm Sunday? Remember when he wrote on the back, as Zechariah 9:9 talks about, that behold, Israel, Jerusalem, your king comes to you, humble, meek, lowly, riding on the back of a donkey, an unridden donkey, a donkey that's never been ridden before. Israel was to know that verse, among others, like in the book of Daniel as well. They were to be watching and looking, and what happened? Jesus on Palm Sunday gets on that little donkey. There are over, according to Josephus writes, over 100,000 people shouting with palm branches, laying them down, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus came to the temple. Do you remember that? Somebody say yes. Do you remember that? That was technically his first coming. Why? He arrived at the temple in Jerusalem in Israel. First coming to the Jewish people, to the nation. Second coming is very much like the same. He will come on a, not a donkey, on a white horse. He will come to Cleveland. No. What city? Gee, I'll give you one guess. What city is he going to return to? Jerusalem in the state of Israel. Stop right there. When Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem, there was an Israel being occupied by Rome. Up until May 14th, 1948, there could not have been a second coming. There was no Israel until May 14th, 1948. Why is that important? Because the first coming, he came to Israel, to the Jewish people, to Jerusalem, to Israel. The second coming, he's going to come to the Jewish people in the state of Israel. He's going to come to the Temple Mount, to the nation of Israel. The second coming is at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. It is a physical coming of the Messiah. There's something that blesses me big when you begin to think about it. First and second comings, it's to Jerusalem, to Israel. There's something that is not a coming, though we sloppy say such things. Don't never confuse a non-Jewish event as a coming. It's called the rapture. Don't ever confuse the two. One, he came to Jerusalem, Israel. The second one, he'll come to Jerusalem, Israel. They're physical returns to planet Earth. In the middle is a Gentile event. He comes to rapture the church, and he doesn't even come to earth. He's in the atmosphere, and the Bible says that we'll be raptured up. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, concerning the timing and what you and I think about and do right now matters. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. The word caught up, two English words have to describe it, caught up. The word in Greek is harpazo. Isn't that a great word? Sounds Italian, I know. I want two meatballs, spaghetti, and a harpazo. Extra sauce. Harpazo. What does it mean? It means a violent uplifting or snatching away, a taking out of, a pulling away from. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians 4 that there is going to be a time when Christ himself descends. We'll read it in a moment. And those who are of the church will be violently taken away from this earth and brought into his presence. It's called the rapture. I hope it happens now. Or right now. Now. Caught up. The Latin word, you know, rapture. What's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15:50. This is fun stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." That means something's got to happen. You either got to die or you got to get raptured. "Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," or "we shall not all die," the word means, "but we shall be metamorpho," changed, "in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise incorruptible, and we who are alive will be changed." Did you hear Paul's statements? Paul thought that he would be in the we group. He didn't say, "Well, you know, someday when I'm dead, my body's going to come up out of the grave." He said, "We who are alive." Paul was living for the imminent return of Christ. That's the way, by the way, every believer should live through every generation until he does return. It's awesome. But listen, there's more. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren," Christians, "you have no need that I should write to you." You don't need to get a letter from me. "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." Watch out. The question should be, for who? "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren," Christians, "are not in darkness so that that day should overtake you as a thief. Don't let anyone ever tell you, Christian, if you are prepared to meet thy God, don't let anyone ever tell you that, you know, the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. Oh, yeah, he is to those who are not watching, but not so concerning the believer." The word time here, this gets exciting, especially when you realize, did not Jesus say, "No man knows the day or the hour"? Did you hear me? Nobody knows the day or the hour. That is very cool. But listen to what Paul said. "Concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write to you." Why? We or some generations going to be discerning something. Number one, the word time is chronos, like chronology. Chronos is to keep time. Chronographer, watch. The word in Greek means a specific time or time frame, a designated fixed segment of time, otherwise described as an event, an occasion, or an interval, time. It's short, but it's not 1 hour, 1 minute, or 1 day. It's a collection, but not many. Then he said, the seasons. You'll know the times and you'll know the seasons. The word seasons here in the Greek is kairos, and that word means a time period. Watch, a collection of segments of time. The word is also used for seasons. We have four seasons in a year. A collection of times. 3 months would be viewed as a season. Paul is saying there's going to come a time and a season when the believers who are living during the time that the Lord's coming back, they're going to be discerning something's up. We won't know the day or the hour, but we're going to start getting a gut feel. Man, you know what? Things are looking pretty biblical. And I just want to suggest this. I'm not saying that he's coming back next month. I'm saying he could come back now. But look around. You have Russia fueling Iran at breakneck speed now. I mean, it's crazy. That reminds me of a scripture. You've got this insanity of what may be the Antichrist religion that is sweeping the earth with Islam, whose motive of conversion, if you don't like the message, is beheading. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, those who don't worship the religion of the Antichrist is what? Beheaded. Heard that before. Gee whiz. You can look at some violence and people, their minds are thinking evil continually. Yikes. So much is going on. What about apostasy and apathy among the believers? People giving up on the Bible. People giving up on prayer. People giving up on commitment. People just quitting. People turning in their Christianity like never before. Are those indicators that we should be awake and be watching for we could be entering the times and the seasons? I think so. What if you're wrong? Then I'm ready. What if you're wrong? Jesus said in Matthew 25:13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes." Okay, listen, very quickly. Actually, you're fine. I'm the one slowing down. I need to pick it up. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. And yet the church is ignorant about what he's going to say. He says, don't be dumb. Don't be stupid, brethren, concerning those who have died in Jesus, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, thank you, that's not an angel, but it's him, will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to, that's that word harpazo, to meet them in the clouds with the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you know how great that's going to be? There's going to be a time. I'll act it out for you. Watch this. Let's pretend there's a funeral at Rose Hills or Forest Lawn. We're doing the funeral, and now we commit, you know, Brother John's body to the earth and blah, 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 and we're there, and everyone's crying. And we just put the guy in. Voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Can you imagine? In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, man! The ground's going to open up. The guy's going to be resurrected. And then, and just a few milliseconds after that, we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. I would love to be doing a funeral that day. It'd be great. Boom, boom. And we'll meet them in the air. You say, well, I don't understand that. Listen, when you and I die, when we die, see this? This flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's got to be changed. But if it's not time yet, I bury my mom, I bury my dad, I bury my sister. There are bodies in the grave, but they're not there. They believed in Jesus. They're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. They are more alive now than they ever have been, but their body's at Forest Lawn. They don't need their body where they're at right now. Their body's here. Resurrection hasn't come yet. When the Lord comes and the trumpet blast takes place, their carcass is going to be raised from the grave and metamorphosed in a second. It's going to be reconstituted, resurrected, just like Jesus' body. And they are going to receive, as he comes with them, they're going to receive that new body. And then in a second, we are going to be raptured and meet them in the air. And it says, and we will always be with them. So comfort one another with these words. You know why this is fun? If you, listen, I don't want to, I was going to say I don't want to upset anybody, but if I do and it leads you to hopeful truth, then right on. Here it is. If you don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture view, you're bummed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, confronting us with a life and death question. Are you ready to meet God? It's an examination of biblical passages like Amos chapter 4, among others, that cause us to face this uncomfortable question. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, for more resources that'll help you better understand what it means to have a reconciliation with your Maker. realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you're a regular listener to Real Radio and you've benefited from this broadcast, remember that there's still time left here in 2011 for you to be involved financially. Real Radio is listener-supported, and all contributions are tax-deductible. Again, call us at 877-RR-RADIO or visit us at realradioactive.org. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.